Right, right. What's up, everybody? This is Joe.
Gio.
Ed.
From Pissing Razors. Pissing Razors. And you're watching Aftershocks TV.
TV, baby.
All right, Aftershocks TV. Matt and Tom, we're back with you guys and gals for another episode, as we'd like to welcome our guest on this week's show from Louisville, Kentucky's Crossover Thrash Kings, Belushi Speedball. We got vocalist Vinny Castellano, who's joining us. What's up, Vinny? How you doing, hey, bud?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me.
You got it.
Yeah, absolutely, Vinny. Well, man, let's get right to it, bro. Do you pronounce it Stelkira? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Akira.
Akira, okay. Yeah, Stelkira, like Akira.
Yeah, okay. It's my favorite movie.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it's named after? I was going to ask you what that was after.
Well, it's my cat, Stella, and my favorite movie, Akira. And so
That'll do. Yeah, that
you
works.
You can see her right there on the motorcycle. It's my catter-cycle. So I stick my cat on everything.
Oh, nice.
Stella, too.
Stella. Oh, yeah. Stella. Oh, yeah. Nice, man. Nice. Well, then, man, you know, obviously the album's out now. 11 more satirical crossover thrash-fueled tracks that continues the band's, you know, musical trajectory that you guys have been now doing for at least a decade now, right? You guys started, was it 2013, I think I read? You've been around since? Wow. Yeah. Well, before we get into the album, I just want to go back a little bit into the band's early days, just to give the viewers and listeners a bit of a background first into the history of the band. But so what initially spawned, I would say, the idea to become really a satirical band, you know, to be more of a funny band? And how did you guys initially come up with the decision to go in that direction instead of being your quintessential serious thrash, you know, crossover kind of band?
Yeah, dude. Well, so I was, since I was like 13 or 14, I've been in bands, and there's always been like a sense of humor to every single project I've ever been a part of. Okay. And then, you know, past tense, every single one of those projects always end up folding up. So with Belushi Speedball, I sat down and I made it my own solo studio project. I recruited musicians to kind of help me with the things I couldn't do. And, you know, and then eventually we decided to start playing shows. And then those people I recruited became part of the band. And it's kind of the same premise that Joel Grind from Toxic Holocaust did. And that's actually what made me start it. I was like 23. My father passed, and after he passed, I was like, damn, life's short. I need to, you know, music makes me really happy. I need to start doing music again. And I'm so tired of every single one of these bands where their collaborations and stuff, they just fold up. Mm-hmm. And so, not that Belushi isn't a collaboration. Like, we write music together. You know what I mean? Like the, you know, Daniel Neal lays down all the drums, and Jameson added a lot to Stelkira, but it snowballed from there, you know. And anyone that's starting a band, I always tell them the same thing: make one song, go record one single. Let me get my finger in there. One single song, go record that song, put it out there on streaming. It's so easy to do now, and then that project actually exists, and then work on your EP and work. And that's where I started with Belushi, and you know, I wrote the EP, we got it done, and I recorded majority of it myself. And then after there, about a year later, we played a show. We had a pretty decent response. A year later, we decided to do it again. Mm. And then the response was even crazier, and it snowballed into what it is today. And then I always really, my favorite bands are like Gwar, and I love ICP, and I love all these theatrical bands that when you go see them, it's more than just the music. Mm-hmm. That was always the thing I gravitated towards when I was a kid going to shows. So I wanted to do that. So our first show, I recruited my buddy Bo Kalin. He's a character actor to play Senor Diablo and kind of take the helm on doing theatrical stuff with the band. And it kept snowballing. As far as the satirical nature, it's funny. I don't know. You know, like I write music as a representation, I guess, of myself, like most artists, right? And I'm a pretty positive guy. Like, I have a really fun outlook on life. And the way I deal with crap is always through humor. Mm. So anytime something really awful or terrible happens, I look at it in like a funny light and I laugh at it. And, you know, so it's kind of where it is. I don't know. It's just way more fun to be funny.
Yeah.
It's all the time. And, you know, I think people need that, man. There's nothing wrong with serious music at all. Like, some of my favorite bands are not the least bit humorous. You know what I mean? But I think some people need it to escape whatever it is they're going through, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it really brings me back to, like, I mean, to the 80s, you know, when you had bands like DRI and, you know, SOD, MOD, and then, I mean, you know, Mucky Pup. You had all these really, you know, crossover thrash bands that were using, you know, humor. And it's, I agree, especially these days. I mean, there's been so much. I mean, I love thrash. I love it. But it's like, God, every time I hear a new thrash band, they're singing about, you know, political or satanic. You know, it's just like, man, just get some fun involved. So that's why I'm a big fan of your band, is because you do that. And one of the things I want to show here to give the audience here an idea, is a perfect example here is the single for My Favorite Color Is Pizza here. Now, you basically took I think it was like a resin encased slice of pizza, and then of course the single plays that. So, I was showing this to my buddy, man. He was loving this. It's like, this is real unique way of marketing. I mean, are you also not just a funny guy, but I would have to say a pretty darn good marketing guru to be putting together these types of campaigns, man.
I do not look at it like, man, me and my buddy Clay, he's in Foxbat, and we talk about the merch thing all the time because, you know, like, this is one of many insane things I've done. Mm-hmm. I make all these things myself too. Anything that you see that's real obscure on the band camp is handcrafted by me.
Oh, wow. So okay.
You know, if you're a fan of the band and you're buying our stuff, if you buy one of these items, it is made by these hands. You can't get any closer to me. I'm physically touching that thing. And so, you know, we got the Super Nintendo album. I make those. I make the Game Boy Advance albums. I did Furbies. I've done Teddy Ruxpin's, like, tapes. Like,
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those things to where you just want it to exist because it's so funny and silly. Just want to exist. So you have this idea and then you see what you could do and then you make it a reality. And then the marketing comes later. You know, put it out there for the world. Not, at least for me, the idea that comes second is anyone actually going to buy this? And for me, if I sell one of them, then it was worth it. Unfortunately, I've sold a whole bunch of these pizzas, and they're a pain in the neck. Those are that is the hardest merch item to make, because, you know, I'm encasing that pizza in resin myself.
And oh, wow.
Pizza floats, and so you can't do one single pour.
Wow.
You have to do about five or six pours. So it takes almost a week to make each one, and I can only make about five a week. So I'm about 45 days behind. So anyone listening to this, if you bought it 45 days ago, you're going to get it this week.
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually was listening to an interview you did recently. They were asking about the pizza. What do you like on your pizza? And I gotta correct you on something, man. Because, you know, obviously you're an Italian guy.
And you said
you like pineapple.
Oh,
come on, dude. That is like, I mean, I'm from New York City. I grew up around a ton of Italian food.
I'm with you.
There's two.
Margarita,
there's,
I'm with you.
Yeah, there's two things. There's two rules. No fruit and no chicken on pizza. That's like an Italian 101 thing that everyone should tell me.
Dude, here's my thing. I want red sauce. I don't care what's on top of it. I need a red sauce. I don't like chicken, though, on pizza. It's too dry. It's fucking stupid.
It is.
Which, actually, I should ask. Can I swear on here?
Yeah, absolutely can.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna tell you something. So the Castellano, that's so the students can't find me. My real last name's Castellano. So if you're from New York.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was wondering about that. Castellano? Yeah.
Yeah, I put the R there. You know, that's my persona for Belushi. But yeah, no, I love pineapple on pizza. Expand your palate, son.
Oh, no thanks, man. No fruit.
Now, so I got something to say on this. Matt, fuck you and your pineapple, because I love pineapple on pizza. So I'm with you, man. I'm 100% with you on that. Give me
that's
the
Hawaiian pizza. And my wife's from Hawaii.
Hawaii? Hawaiian. You're right.
Yeah.
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 Is that anyway. A legit thing?
Yeah.
It was it really made in Hawaii? Or
you know, it's funny
say that. Let's just go with that. I say it was. So let's.
Someone told me. I think it wasn't, but they obviously took it. You know, because of the pineapple. If I remember correctly, yeah. But yeah.
Because like, I love it. So my wife makes fun of me because when she was pregnant, this last time with our third kid. Her pregnancy craving was Hooters wings. And I'm like, I love wings. So like,
okay. And Hooters, obviously. So yeah.
No, I'm not like, oh, come here. I actually legit, like, I like wings. Well, it's sad because actually right next to it in Louisville, Kentucky, we got a place, it's franchise called Roosters. And it's right down the street. Roosters is so much better. But so she likes Daytona wings. And this summer we went to Daytona Beach. And I'm Googling and I'm like telling her, I want to find some real Daytona wings that these are based on. And it turns out that it is just something Hooters made up and they're based out of Tampa.
Oh, time. Man.
Oh, no.
So disappointed. So now I'm questioning everything.
That's not good. Hey, but just speaking of food and restaurants, Jack Fry's restaurant in Louisville, I've been there a couple of times. That's a superb restaurant. You know Jack that one, Fry? Jack Fry's? Yeah, you got to look it up, man. Okay. Jack Fry's, yeah. I was there a couple of times over the years. Great steaks, great everything, great pizzas, I guess, with pineapple. But when Matt and I were chatting about this last week, when he sent me this on, and I just said, full disclosure, never heard of you guys, and I maybe heard the name across magazines or something, and I had to look it up. And when I was preparing my questions, I've got a list of questions right here. I could spend an hour, but obviously I can just touch on a few of them. But tell me about the name. Obviously, I know the name, and I know the Speedball. I get the connection. I get that part, right? We know what happened with the Speedball, but why that particular name as opposed to any other on the planet? Come on.
No, you're wrong. Yeah, everyone's wrong. Even the metal encyclopedia is wrong. It talks about wrong.
Put it straight.
We're named after Jim and his love of Sonic Spinball.
Ah,
that knucklehead called Speedball.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Tell me that a little bit about moving on. Tell me about the like. I can hear the trash. I can hear the punk. I can hear the hardcore. And you spoke about your influence, but tell the viewers that maybe are looking at this, like what they're hearing regarding the interview, but don't know the music. What are they going to hear when they, you know, put the needle on?
Oh, the most cliche, generic crossover you could ever hope for. You'll be like, damn, is this Municipal Waste?
I can hear that. So I read an interview with Venom. Somebody said they heard Venom. I was going, what?
Venom?
I cannot hear Venom in there. I'm sorry. No, I like Venom, but I can't hear it in their music. But so where are your influences coming from? Who did you listen to to get this sound right now?
Dude, you take the top string and you go.
That's it.
That's it. And then you go, Daniel, go like this.
Yeah, play faster, dude. Play slower. Play faster, play slower.
No, I mean but we even have a song about ripping off Municipal Waste, you know. Mm-hmm. That's based on a fan said that to me and I wrote a song about it because I thought it was so funny. But yeah, Municipal Waste, DRI, Violence, SOD, MOD, you said that.
Yep.
Oh, God, I love SOD. Anthrax. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's any...
I can hear Anthrax, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, any crossover thrash band, any thrash band, you know, Metallica. God, Lars Ulrich, I love him. Everyone, he's such a good drummer.
Everybody shits on poor Lars. I get it.
So underrated because everyone he will now exceed all expectations.
Well, so I was doing something today, whatever, just fucking around the house later. I put the music on, and 26 minutes later, the album was over. I was going, "What the fuck? 14 songs in 26 minutes?" And then I look back on the song. I was like, I was like, "Whoa! I got to put this back on again." You know, so obviously that's purposely done because it's just straight up there over in less than 30 minutes. So it's just awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome. That way you got more time to go do some activities.
Hey, Rain and Blood is 30 minutes, so you're in good company, right?
Dude, it's not even on purpose. I'm a 3-minute songwriter. You know, 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes is usually my go-to.
Well, and there's one on there that's 3:30, so that's your epic,
yeah,
I guess.
Jameson wrote that.
Yeah, that's like an epic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Guar. That's our Beefcake the Mighty. He was in Guar for 10 years. And no, it's good. Well, with that one, he likes to on every so he did this on What Us Worry. He likes to have a song where he has some epic leads on it. Mm. I told him I want you to do like Iron Maiden. He's like, Vinny, they got like 3 guitarists. And so I was like, play like 3 guitarists then, Jameson.
Well, only 2 are plugged in though, so we're good on Yannick. He doesn't play. He just jumps around, yeah.
So very bad. Joel Grind, you mentioned a name before. Yeah. Toxic Holocaust. You mastered the record. So how did you want to get up with him and get him to get on board with this record?
Dude, he'll master anyone's albums, man. That's what he does. Mm. He does production work. And so I knew that and I was messaging him. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, God bless, that's another crazy simulation type thing. So, you know, again, just a huge fan of Joel because he was the biggest influence that for me that was like, oh, I didn't know this is a way you can do it. Because for him, he does everything in the studio. Well, I think Wild Dogs and Chemical Consciousness, he had a drummer. But like even all his new stuff, he's playing drums on. So he does everything himself.
Amazing,
he hires touring musicians. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize that was like an avenue you could take as a band, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, he mastered Power Trip's album. He's done Municipal Waste, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was like, this guy's, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I emailed him and didn't hear anything back. And then I went to go see Toxic Holocaust and Guar in Nashville. And we're going to get Hattie B's. And I'm standing in line. And in front of me is this fucking dude with long hair and 80s Reeboks on. And I was like, what's up, man? I go, you here for the show? He's like, I'm playing in the show. And it was, I was like, oh, really? What band? He's like, Toxic Holocaust. I was like, oh, really, dude? What are you going to do for Joel? And he's like, I'm his guitarist. And so Rob Gray is standing in front of me. And then we went and ate chicken together and then became friends. And I go to the merch booth and Joel's over there. And I say, hey, dude, I'm Vinny, you know, Belushi Speedball. I've been emailing you. I want you to master my new album. And he's like, I didn't get an email for that. I wouldn't remember a fucking name like that. And I was like,
yeah,
he checked spam. So he checked spam. There it was, Dan. Emailed from a man. So he's been doing it ever since.
That's
he's
great,
very talented and very reasonable. Very reasonable for his price. If you're in a thrash band or a metal band and you want Joel Grind to master it, he'll do it.
That's good to know. Listen, hopefully all the thrash bands out there are listening right now. There's a whole slew of them, man. You know that they'll hopefully call up Joel. But no, it is. I mean, sonically, man, the record sounds great. Tell the story too. I heard you tell it in another interview about the song "Ripping Off Municipal Waste" and how that came about. That's a pretty funny story.
Dude, so it was after a show here in Louisville. We got done playing, and like this fan came up to us, and I think he meant it as a compliment, but he said to me, he's like, "At least someone's ripping off municipal waste around here." And I thought it was so funny. And so this is probably 2 years before I wrote the song. And so I like had that idea kicking around forever. That song was hard as hell to write too, because I really tried to sound like another band. Mm. Like I really tried to rip off municipal waste with that one. Mm-hmm. And lyrically, like vocals, Tony goes a mile a minute. Mm-hmm. And I don't normally do that. I like to kind of pace out my lyrics. So mm-hmm. I had to write a whole slew of lyrics for like a 16-bar measure to try and sound like him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's like you said, much different than what you used to doing. Just even the style too, right? That many words. I mean, to fit them in, that must have taken you a while, huh? To learn how to do it, huh?
So I listened to Municipal Waste for about a year and a half straight, every time in the gym or in the car.
Wow.
To try to get that style down. Mm. Because it's a very, like, you could say all thrash bands sound the same, but I mean, you know, it's a very unique style. There's a reason they're the fucking gods right now, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You want them singing Municipal Waste?
Been off Municipal? Yeah.
Can you edit this out?
No. So, are we cut out?
No. I just farted.
My head keeps popping up. Did it work yet? Okay, here we go. Hit it.
Ready?
Yep.
So I'm a hypocrite, so this guitar riff original music makes me sick. We'll make it faster, unleash the masters, and make it right for our new dead master. Oh my god, what have we done? The songs are nice and we just begun. Guess this is it, time to commit, and we'll do a guitar riff. To see it right to our face, ripping off municipal waste. They put it straight in our place, ripping off municipal waste.
Dave Boyce, Ryan Waste!
Ripping off municipal waste! To see it right to our face! Ripping off municipal waste! Ripping off the waste! Ripping off the waste!
Another track I want to ask you about now, Garth Let My Family Go. Now, the videos, I love the video, man. It's got that like a Nintendo looking graphics, whatever, you know, the original Nintendo, whatever it is. But the track itself is in regards to a conspiracy. I've never heard about this one yet. Garth Brooks is a serial killer. I haven't heard about that one yet.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Conspiracy theory, yeah.
Yeah, that's from your mom's house. It's one of the funniest bits. And, Kyle, he was our old guitarist, and he's on the album for vocals, but he doesn't play live with us anymore because he got too busy with work and stuff.
Okay.
He was the one that showed me all that, and I thought it was the funniest shit ever, and it makes sense. You know, the whole persona of Chris Gaines and all that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting. I'd never heard that before. I was like, I never heard of this quote-unquote conspiracy before. So, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I like that because it's obviously it's very funny, but it's also, you know, throwing something like that out there. Like I said, I've never heard of it before, but anyway, yeah, great, great. I love that song, man. Like I said, that video, everyone needs to check out that video. Very cool video. Oh,
yeah, it's funny. I was looking at the video today and my son was walking past the computer and he stopped for a second and said, Dad, what the fuck are you looking at? And he just says, I said, come here. Look at this. Look at this. I'm interviewing these guys tonight. So he said, okay. He's like a hip hop guy. So he just kept going, but that's fine. But, you know, four albums in, I think it's four. What's your collective or personal expectation when an album comes out? I think it's out 3 days, if I'm not mistaken. So what's your expectation when it hits? Is it, do you watch for the reviews? You're trying to get on a tour? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, this is the first time I've done it right. I'm talking to you guys thanks to Austin. Shout out to Austin, best publicist in the world.
Right on.
But I always, you know, okay, so going back here, the 7-inch. So Definitive Blue Sheet Speedball, I always say this is what we look like, is the definitive album to when our production got good and like from then forward, right? And that's the 7-inch. That's Spinelli Slam, Ravioli on it, and Anchor Arms. Mm. So with that, right, started trying to then figure out how to properly release an album. And I listened to a lot of Matt Bacon Bits on Instagram. I listened to a lot of Jesse Cannon, information on YouTube. And he talks about the proper way to kind of do a release strategy. And so we did our single releases right. And then it finally dropped and reviews have been good. And I've been checking those out. And so
yeah.
Our last albums, man, I was always having to play catch up. I drop it. And I was like, crap, it's not doing what I want to do. And I'd have to like start promoting after the fact. And that's a bad feeling to have. So, you know, as far as expectation for what we have so much booked already. I just want people to enjoy the album. That's it.
Yeah, that's good. But when you see about, you said you're looking at the reviews, some musicians care, some don't. But when somebody or a journalist, whatever website reviews it, do you see something negative and go, motherfucker, like he just doesn't get it or he hasn't listened to it. Or do you just not give a shit and go, oh, well, next.
It's funny. It's funny because obviously, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. I had to plug up my phone. Sorry, boys. So far, all the reviews have been awesome, which okay. is here. But I listen to it. I'm a, you know, for career-wise, I'm a teacher. So criticism is part of my career. I need to take criticism. And I you know, people say take it with a grain of salt. That's not true. If mass majority of people are telling you something, you listen to them. So one of them was when I released What Us Worry, the album before this, which the ironic part was I ended up worrying about it. I stuck that in the skit. I made the accountant say it, but that was really, what a story. I don't care. And then I'm worrying about this damn album. We overdid the skits. You know what I mean? And people were like, holy,
oh, wow.
This really, like the skits were like, we did a scan every song and the skits were like 2 minutes a piece. And you know what? That was, I'm a 90s baby. That was the first time that I understood that people consume music differently because of streaming for CDs. You have a skit on a CD, you hit skip when you don't want to listen to it anymore, right? It only takes a... Well, on stream, you're letting the music play through your car and stuff. It becomes a really kind of mess. So a lot of complaints last album. Within that week, the first 3 days after, I re-released it skit-free, and I offered both versions. And on stream...
Wow, you did listen. Yeah. So,
yeah, no, you got to listen to that stuff. So what's funny, though, is so far all the reviews have been good except for one guy in Norway. And I sent it to the boys in the band because they think it's the funniest shit. Because it's just like he's just so grumpy in it. And he's like, musicians are not comedians. And this true with Belushi Speedball. Do you think someone screaming about pizza and Hashling and Slasher is funny? Me neither. And then he gave it like speckles out of 10 gluk marks or whatever Norwegian they have.
Well, so, he just wanted blackmail because he's from Norway and it's
there. You go.
A year, so go figure.
Buddy,
yeah, he's got all black makeup going, shit going on, going like grocery stores, whatever. But yeah, but just before I shoot back to Matt, the question I got, like obviously when you begin writing for album number four, one song has to be the first song. So do you write a song And has that become the theme for the album, or do you just write a bunch of songs and put them together because they match? How do you work that around?
Yeah, there's no theme, man. I get that question a lot, especially because like we have the, well, okay, overarching theme is nostalgia for my childhood. I'm curious, writing about cartoons and video games and Warhammer 40K and like, you know, anything I love. And with that, like, cause I got asked, like, is there any Akira reference? I'm like, no, it's just a dope ass cover. Like, you know, I want a cover cycle, you know what I mean? So, I guess I do have the anime reference with Berserk with the Griffith song, but, you know, no, basically we had a lot of this album written, you know, kind of when What Us Worry dropped, most of the album was kind of, at least the bones were there. And then just kind of reworking them and putting them together. I'm not that deep, man. I'm not that guy.
I can tell.
Yeah. oh man, this doesn't fit the theme of the album. Take it off. No, I'm like,
yeah, fuck it. Leave it there. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Someone will like it.
Yeah. Did you ever think, I think the funniest thing you could probably do, or something to really throw people off, is to write, you know, a record that's super serious and just like, you know, totally opposite from what people.
Yeah.
Because I read some comments too about you guys, and I, you know, people just, you know, don't seem to get it, or they just, you know, whatever. It's just like, you really want to fuck with them. That's what you can really do. You put together or a couple songs that are just real, you know, satanic or angry or whatever the hell it is instead of. But I want to ask you about being an independent band. You know, you guys are obviously releasing your own music. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, and considering the amount of, you know, I mean, you got marketing, like you said, these marketing things you're doing, I think are really awesome. And like you just said before, you're a teacher. I mean, it's got to be exhausting though, right? I mean, because you guys have, like I said, put out a lot of music in the last 10 years. You tour. Obviously, you got a tour. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. You have the tour you got coming up this summer. But it's got, I mean, it's a lot. And like you said, you're just trying to, you said you just kind of figured out certain things using, obviously, you said Secret Service with Austin, who's awesome, like you said. I mean, how it usually takes a band these days, like around, it does, unfortunately, about 10 years to really start, you know, clicking with in the scene and everything, you know, globally or whatever. I mean, how, you know, I mean, is it like really like exhausting for you? Because you said you kind of do most of this, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. So, just run us through, I mean, how just the challenges, I guess, is being a dad, you know, a full-time job and doing this and you know, obviously achieving what you guys have been achieving so far.
Yeah, so I'm very, very blessed that my wife is one of the most supportive human beings on the face of the earth. And, you know, it's one of those things to where she gets it. When we were expecting Violet, you know, she said, I'm not going to make you quit Belushi. You know, obviously I got to balance things. But my wife, man, she's so supportive and she's like, go for it. You know, she gets it. Like right now she's let me do this interview in the bedroom while she's out there entertaining the kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's really my secret weapon right there, man. But she gets it. Like it's one of those things where I'm not playing. There's nothing wrong with this, but I'm not playing local shows on a Tuesday night to five people, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
We've really pushed hard to get to this point. And then I'm just very, very lucky, and I work hard, but I'm very blessed that I have Austin and I have an amazing booking agent now, Josh from Tone Deaf, and Milt from Muddy Roots hooked me up with them. And, you know, people, it's a privilege. People have really helped us out. Being able to play any venue is a privilege. I have no ego whatsoever. I'm very thankful for everyone that comes out, man. So, you know, as far as it is a lot of work, I'm not going to lie. I got pirate ship, so now life isn't near as hell, so I can make my own labels. But, man, I'm shipping out 50 things a week minimum at 200 and
pieces
to ship out on Friday. You know what I mean? And I'm making those pizzas. I'm making the merch items. And, you know, it's a system, but it's a labor of love. So I don't get to play video games as much. You know, I'm reading Salem's Lot right now by Stephen King. It's next.
Oh, jeez.
I've had this for a year and I'm on page 300 and some. I'm almost done.
Nice. Well, I saw the 70s version of that and scared the shit out of me for about 10 years. Did you ever see the original? It's so cheesy now to look at, but the ghouls, like the makeup and shit back then, I didn't sleep for a decade. It would just scare the bejesus out of me.
I've seen clips, but you know what? I'm very lucky that I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it after I get done.
Yeah, gotta see it, man. It's so good. Like, it's so bad. It's so good at the same time. It's yeah. You gotta see it.
So I saw The Shining before I read The Shining.
Okay.
Free in The Shining, I'm just seeing Jack Nicholson. With this, I get to see what Stephen King was envisioning. It's kind of neat because I didn't get that. But no, man. The point is I don't have as much free time, but I will watch Salem's Lot. It's gonna take me a week to watch that fucking movie, though.
Yeah, just to put the kids to bed and get a glass of wine and kick back and just, you know, just go all in. Yeah, just go all in. Yeah. Hey, I just got a quick question, Matt. I'm new to the band. Like, you got a new fan here tonight. I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. I genuinely like it, right? And I was listening to it as quick as it was, like my whole 26 minutes of doing something. And I said this to Matt tonight, kind of just before you jumped on, I said this, I was, those motherfuckers can play like a really good musicians. It's almost like I wasn't expecting that, because the names of the songs, the whole kind of the name of the band, I didn't know what to expect, but what I didn't expect is how good you guys were playing the actual instruments, and that really took me away.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really lucky.
Yeah,
got some good musicians behind it. I write all the rhythm guitars, and I go into the studio and I record them, and I'm a bassist. I call the bass actually. But after I write the rhythm guitars, I go into the studio, and then Chase, the guy that records us, fixes them and he re-records them. And then this time around, Jameson got to go in there and do all his guitars. So I have really good guitarists fixing the sloppy shitting guitar riffs that I write. And then they fix it and they harmonize it and they play it in time. But I do all the basses. So, and then Daniel Neal on drums, man. That's one hell of a drummer, dude.
Yeah, he sure is. A small drum kit too, from what I saw some of the videos, and he was kicking their ass. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. So live, he will do that. Yeah, he'll. I don't know what he actually. I've never watched him record. I don't know how big his kit is when he's in the studio. I need to.
Oh, there you go. You got to know. You got. That's your homework. You got to go and watch that show, and you got to find out how big the drum kit is.
Because I know live, he'll use like literally one tom and a floor tom, and that's it. Sometimes, yeah, it's pretty wild.
So. Hey, the greatest drummer of all time is John Bonham, Friday and Slip. John Bonham, and his kit was not big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't need
he
a mess.
He didn't have a big kit at all. Never had it. Yeah. That's it. He wasn't a neat peer.
We always say Daniel Neal's the best drummer alive.
That's a good one. Yeah.
There you go.
I like that.
Awesome. Well, Vinny, man, now in terms of touring, like you said, you guys got shows lined up in July. You obviously got just this coming up this weekend. You got the Milwaukee Metal Fest. That's going to be pretty awesome. I mean, I'm so glad they brought that thing back. That was, speaking of 90s, that was a big thing in the 90s and early 2000s. So just talk a little bit about what you guys are planning, you know, all together for the tour, you know, for the album, in terms of, you know, supporting. And are you going to do more dates, you know, when you can, I guess, after the, you know, the summer or so forth? Just fill us all in.
Yeah. So, dude, I'm so excited about Milwaukee Metal Fest.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, and I do want to go back and say I love John Bonham, by the way. You fucking Moby.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that, because we would have just cut this. We weren't going to air this if you didn't say that. So, yeah. Like, you were fucked, no way.
But that's always, because, anyways, yeah, sorry. I do. I love him. I love Neil Peart. But we always, people
solid.
Always bring them up when I talk about Daniel. I'm like, yeah, but Daniel's still about, all right. Anyways.
Okay, we'll give you that one.
All right. So, yeah, dude, Milwaukee Metal Fest is such a big deal to me personally, because my first show I ever played 20 years ago when I was 14 was at the Rave. I grew up in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I moved to Louisville, Kentucky when I was 17. And so my mom, my brother are still there. And 20 years later, I get to go back, man. And we're fucking closing out our stage. You know, and what was cool was the dudes that I played in that band when we were kids. They live in Wisconsin. I hit them up and asked them to be on stage to like throw trash out and be a part of the theatrics.
Nice.
And they said, yeah. So it's really exciting for me. And my mom thinks I'm famous. And so she's bragging on all her friends. Nice. And dude, I'm so excited for Milwaukee. It's so cool. And so, you know, thank you, Jamie Josta. Thank you, Tim. You know, just like, thank you, The Rave, man. So stoked. But afterwards, so we got a run leading up to Milwaukee, just 3 days or 2 days, and include three with Milwaukee, with Death Ray Vision. We're going to Akron, Detroit, and then Milwaukee. And then we got that 10-day run with Joe Buck. You know, he's a buddy of ours and we love him so much. He's from Ass Jack, you know, Hank. Mm-hmm. And doing a 10-day with him. We're going to Europe. We're playing Obscene Extreme after that. So Czech Republic. So you guys might have to save me because I might be taken. You know, you guys will have to Liam Neeson it and come out.
Yeah. There you go. I will find you.
I'll be like, but who can I call? And I'll call you guys up. And I'll be describing. Yeah.
Well, like Liam, Tom's from Ireland. Yeah,
so I'm Irish. Liam, so dude, there we go. Yeah, I got you covered. Yeah,
I'm closer. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, man, I'm not sure. We got RPM Fest. We got Muddy Roots. And then we're still talking to the booking agent, kind of what we're going to do to close out the year, like October and November. But 2025, we have some big stuff too planned. So
okay,
very keep pushing, cool. Doing the dates we can do, man, and get it out there. So.
Very cool, man. Well, once again, just to let our listeners and viewers out there know, the album is called Stelkira, right? Stelkira.
Stelkira.
Stelkira. All there right. I was thinking of that movie you were telling me about, so yeah.
Hey, just before you go, guys, like I'm looking up here. I don't know if you can see this. Jack Fry's Restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky has 1,500 reviews, 4.7, and I'm an Irish guy, and I know about Jack Fry's, and you live probably a mile away. You got to check it out, man. That's more homework.
What kind? You said steaks?
Jack Fry's. It's on I don't know what street it's on.
What kind of food is it? What kind of food is it, Tom?
It's kind of like American food. Yeah. Okay. Not a burger joint. Now, this is pretty good, man. I'm telling you. You got to check it out. Jack Dude, Fry's Restaurant.
My wife. Okay, now that you keep saying it, I think I can see the sign in my head. Black sign. With like white writing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah, I've driven past it maybe a million times.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
There, dude. She is a foodie, and she tells
food
me what
is
all.
Awesome.
So yeah.
There you go.
Oh yeah, dude. Well, we'll go get me some Jack Fry's then, man.
There you go.
Just keep the pineapple off the pizza, Vinny. That's what I'm gonna tell you.
So much on it. I'm gonna put it on my steak.
Put it on. Look, we said this already. Fuck Matt. Put the pineapple on.
I'm telling you. You guys, anyway. All right, so Stelkira, Belushi, Speedball, it's out now. Go check it out. Check out the band at the Milwaukee Metal Fest this coming weekend, Saturday, May 18th, as well as on the road this summer. I guess, what's the best place, Vinny, for the listeners of yours to go keep up with the band, keep, you know, buy merch, tour dates, all that good stuff?
Yeah, www.metallica.com. No, I'm kidding. I used to do that at shows and never get any followers, and I'd be like, oh, gee, I wonder why. Follow us on any of the social, well, not Twitter. I don't know how to work Twitter. I have like 200 followers on there. It's very obvious.
Yeah.
People realize it's they're like, do you even have a Twitter? Like, that can't be you. But Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, YouTube, I actually share. Everyone should do this. There is a promotion feature like where you can share posts on YouTube. But yeah, any of our socials, man, and then any of our merch stuff on our Bandcamp, belushispeedball.bandcamp.com, all that's up there, and then Spotify, all the tour dates are on there. So hell yeah, man.
All right. Fantastic. All right, Belushi Speedball, everyone, go check him out in your town. Vinny, man, great chatting with buddy. Really appreciate you coming on, man, and good luck on the road, man.
Guys, thank you so much, man. This is fun.
Sekira! Garth Brooks is a serial killer!